Father, we thank you. We thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful time, Lord, you've given us, Lord, where we can come together as one body, one family, Lord God. To seek you, Lord God, and to be in your presence, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, as we continue our worship, Lord, by reading your word, Lord, and trying to unpack your word. Father, I pray, Lord God, let your Holy Spirit guide us, lead us, Lord God. And may your Holy Spirit, Lord God, reveal the truth to us, Lord God, drawing us closer to you and your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 4 to verse 8. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4 to 8. I love Paul's letter to Philippians. I always find myself going back to this letter and just reading it. There's so many encouraging words that we find in this letter itself. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice, amen. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Amen. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. And God of peace will be with you. You know, we've already highlighted some of the context of this letter last Sunday. And as we all know, this was written by Paul, who was known as Saul. And he had a radical, really powerful encounter with Lord Jesus Christ that not only changed his perspective, but changed everything. The whole being. And so the very man who was once so passionate about keeping the culture as it was in a traditional way is now passionate about preaching this new message of the gospel and really passionate about expanding this message of the gospel. And when we see the full context, we know that Paul is actually in chains, which he says in chapter 1. And also, Paul, when Paul's writing this letter, as Paul does with many letters, he's actually encouraging the family, he's encouraging the church, he's encouraging the body. You see, Paul's thanking them for the generous gifts, but at the same time, he's encouraging the church, saying, hey, let's keep pressing on, which I said last Sunday. Let's keep pressing on. Doesn't matter whatever might be going on in your world, continue to press on. See, I always quote this quote by Martin Luther King Jr., If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever happens, you have to keep moving forward. Amen. And I always find myself going back to the same quote, you know, whenever I get stuck in my journey of faith, because there are times where we feel like we are stuck in our spiritual journey, and we'll feel like, hold on a second, I'm not making any progress. But in reality, we are growing together, amen? In reality, we are growing together. Even though you might not see that you are making a progress in your spiritual journey, the truth is we are all growing, amen? We are all growing, and we need to get that truth in our hearts. So verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. I absolutely love this. Paul's saying to the church, rejoice in the Lord. You see, and these words sound very encouraging, and it always feels like these words were actually Paul saying to just the church. But in fact, Paul's actually encouraging himself as well.
When Paul's writing to the church, rejoice in the Lord, always rejoice, he's also saying or speaking to in himself, saying, Paul, rejoice in the Lord, always rejoice. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I get downcast, these are the words I try to speak out. Daniel, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. You see, because there are days where you don't feel like rejoicing. There are days when, you know, you're trying to get on with your life and you're trying to stay positive. You're trying to stay, hey, you know, I'm going to stay spiritual as much as possible. But there are people who will press your button. There are circumstances that will press your button so much so that will make you react in an ungodly way. You see, and I'm sure in Paul's context as well, there were situations where he was a bit fed up. You see, because he's so frustrated, he says, you know, even in the scriptures, he says, I don't do the things that I do want to do, but I do the things that I do not want to do. In other words, he understands the battle. So don't beat yourself up if you're going through one of them phases in your life. See, don't base your spirituality upon your good merits. Don't base your spirituality on the basis of how many good days you've had. Because sometimes we base our spirituality on the measure of how many good days we have and what sort of reaction or response we have in our daily lives and in our daily journey. But matter of fact, our spirituality is not based upon what we do, but our spirituality is based upon what Jesus Christ has done for us. Wow, what a liberating truth. Our spirituality is actually based on what Jesus did for us. See, the reason why we're all gathered here tonight is all because of Jesus. Yeah. The reason we're able to lift up the name of Jesus is not because of us, but because of Jesus. The reason why we are free today, forgiven today, is all because of Jesus. The reason we are walking in that freedom is because of Jesus. And Paul, even though he's in prison, he's writing to the church, rejoicing the Lord, always rejoice. But he's also speaking into his very being, rejoicing the Lord, always rejoice. Because let's be truthful, you know, we have to practice this principle on a regular daily basis. You see, some days you just don't want to get out of bed because you're just so tired and you would like that extra few hours in bed. Amen. Amen. But in reality, you just have things to do. You have, you know, things waiting for you to do. So you just force yourself out of bed, you know, and that's called discipline. And the art, or should I say the spiritual discipline that we need to implement in our life is the discipline of self-encouragement. Encouraging yourself in the Lord. David does it again and again in the Psalms. Why are you downcast, my soul? Trust in the Lord. He says, I look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. See, he does it over and over again. The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David understands it. Paul understands it. And church, now it's time for us to understand it. Don't give the enemy key to your heart. No. Give your key to Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let him have access to your heart. Amen. And watch how he will cleanse your heart. Watch how he will revive your heart. Watch how he will refresh your heart. Amen. Verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. You see, Philippians, they've just given Paul like loads of generous gifts because Paul's in prison. And you see, to sustain your life whilst you're in prison, you need like resources from the outside. So what is happening is, The church in Philippi, they are supporting him in his ministry. They are actually very generous in their giving. But not only that, but they are actually providing for him. You see, the fact that he's actually able to write letters to these churches shows that he has some finances in place. Because in those times, all the papers and all these inks and everything, they were costly, very costly. And not a lot of people would have been able to afford these writing materials. The fact that Paul is able to write to the churches shows that Paul has some finances in place. And where did them finances come from? The churches. The church in Philippi were one of the churches who were financially supporting Paul. And that's why Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, thank you for your gift. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for your generosity. I love that hymn that David sings all the time. Thank you for giving to the Lord. You see, whenever we are giving to the Lord, whenever we are bringing to the Lord, we are actually giving to the ministry. We are giving to the ministry, but not only that, but we are encouraging the ministry to be broadened and to be able to globalize in the sense of the message. Whoever carrying the message is able to go out with their message, knowing that the church is behind them. And isn't that a wonderful truth? And isn't that a wonderful opportunity we have that we can all participate in this? That we can all bring our part in this? And you see, Paul is actually encouraging the generosity. He understands the generous, but he also is encouraging generosity. In other words, that is the reason why he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. How can our gentleness be evident to all? By being generous. And in terms of generous, I'm not talking about finances. You see, whenever we talk about generosity, we always bring finances in that box of generosity. But yes, finances is part of generosity, but when it comes to generosity, it means doing good. Amen? When it comes to generosity, giving our time to people when they need it the most. That's generosity. Let your gentleness be evident to all. In other words, what Paul is saying is action speaks louder than words. Let your gentleness be evident to all. If you do what needs to be done in public, God will bless you in private. See, whatever we do in the private, God blesses us in the public. There are scriptures, you know, where he says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And in the same context, generosity is not something that we do just to look good. Generosity isn't something that we do just to broaden our board of merits. But generosity is what we do because we know Christ has been generous to us. Amen. Generosity is ingrained in our very being. The reason we are generous is because we have a God who has been so generous to us. Amen. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He's a generous God. See, whenever we want to speak to him, he always gives us his time. He's a generous God. Whenever we're in need of anything, he's always there providing for us. He's a generous God. But the question to us is this: how generous are we to him? When he wants to speak to us, do we give him our time? Let's look at verse 5 again. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. You see? Them four words there. The Lord is near. I've always found comfort reading them four words, the Lord is near. You know, whenever we're heartbroken, the Lord is near. Whenever we're in need, the Lord is near. Whenever you might feel like nobody understands you, the Lord is near. Whenever you might feel like you're rejected, the Lord is near. Whenever you feel like you're all alone, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Amen. Always remember that. The Lord is near. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Never feel like you're alone. Never ever feel that you are alone because it is not true. The Lord is with you all the time. Wherever we go, in our struggles, he's with us. In our mountains, he's with us. In our valleys, he is with us. The Lord is near. The Lord is with us. Amen. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. See, we have two main spiritual practices or priorities here. Number one is prayer. And number two is praise. You know, Andrew and Grace always preach on these two things. And you see, and I too prioritize these two things as the main and most important spiritual practices as a follower of Jesus Christ. Prayer. Prayer is so, so important. I think sometimes we underestimate the power of prayer and we try to take matters into our own hands. But we have to understand that prayer is powerful. Prayer moves mountains. Amen. You see, before even you make that decision, you have to pray. Before even you're about to do something, you have to pray. See, prayer is so, so important because we try to work everything out in our own strength, in our own understanding, and we don't pray about things. But we have to pray first. We have to pray first. If you're praying for your loved ones, I want to encourage you, don't stop praying for them. Continue to pray for them. See, discouraging thoughts or discouraging lies will come to you. Because it's just a matter of understanding that we are in this spiritual battle. Because we are trying to do good. We are trying to bring about change in the community. We are trying to bring about change in the government, in this nation, in everything that we are part of. We are the change bringers. Amen. We are the change bringers. But change for the good. We are bringing in the change for the good. Because with how the world is going, with how the system is going, it breaks my heart. We were just talking, Bible study, actually, after Bible study, myself, Steve, Ava, and Michelle, and we were talking about mental health issues and everything, and how, men are most likely to have heart attacks than women. And the reason why is that is because men don't open up as much. You see, women, they're very good with opening up and sharing what's going on in their hearts, but us men, we just like to box everything in. And personally for me as well, I find it a challenge opening up. I really do. You see, because we just like to think, we have this stigma where we think men, like whenever men open up, men are being weak. And that is the stigma of the world right now. And that is the sort of message that has been given to the world. If we talk about these things, you are a weak man. And it breaks my heart. You know, I'm going on internet and I'm watching all these videos and showing your weaknesses is now cast as being a weak man. No way. And because of these sort of stigmas, what's happening is all these men are actually boxing all of their emotions, all of the struggles, and they are having heart attacks. Because the weight they're carrying on their shoulders is too much for them to bear. You know? And that's what I find is so, so important, this element of prayer. Because sometimes I carry so much weight on my shoulders. It weighs me down. And I feel like opening up, but I struggle. And the only person or the only one who I can open up is God. And that's why now what I do is I go to God before anything. And I open up before God. And church, I want to encourage you, if you struggle, open up, go to God. Open up. Ask Him to give you the strength so that you can open up to others as well, so that others can help you too. Amen. You know, I was just sharing a story as well. And this, every time I kind of think about this story, this breaks my heart. One of my childhood friends, we grew up together. We used to play in the park together. And we used to have marbles back in the days. Obviously, in Britain, I don't know if you did marbles. Yeah, but in Asia, we used to have marbles, so we used to kind of like dig a little bit hole on the ground, and we used to play marbles with our friends, and we used to do all sorts of naughty things, you know. So me and this friend, like, we did all sorts of mischievous things. And my last visit to Nepal, and I completely forgot about this friend. So I bumped into him, and we started chatting, and he said, "Oh, Dan, it's so good to see you after such a long time." You know, we got talking a little bit, and I found out that he was manager of this bank in Nepal, and he'd been doing really good in terms of his career. Financially, he was really secure, and everything was looking great for him. And he said, "Oh, I've got a little boy." Yeah, he said, "I don't know if it's a boy or a girl," but he said, "I've got a little child, and I'm married and everything." And I thought, "Oh, good on you, man." And literally, our house, it's only a few yards away. And he said, "You know, be good to catch up one day," because I was in a rush, he was in a rush. So he said, "Oh, be good to catch up one day and just sit down and just talk life." And I said, "All right." But you know, with the busyness of all that was happening around me whilst I was there, I completely forgot to book an appointment with him and to meet up with him. And I came to England, and a few months later, my uncle phoned me, and he said, "Your friend's dead." And I said, "What happened?" And he said, "He set himself on fire. He poured petrol on himself, set himself on fire. And all the neighbors saw him running outside in the ground." And by the time they couldn't do anything because he was already gone. And you see, all because he had boxed everything in himself. Because he thought sharing was showing weakness. On the outside, he looked good. Designer clothes, expensive clothes and everything. Car, bike, he had it all going for him. But on the inside, he was struggling. Even his family didn't know he was struggling. And church, this is the world that we are reaching out to. That's why let your gentleness be evident to all. And the message that we carry is the Lord is near. See, Andrew and Grace, they're going to Africa. And the message they're carrying with them is the same message. The Lord is near. Wherever you will go, you're carrying the message of comfort, the message of hope. People need to know that the Lord is near. So that's why we have to pray. We have to pray. And we have this element of praise as well. We have to pray and we have to praise God. You see, that the life we have now, you know, is set us free. He's given us freedom. You know, what amazing gift he's given us that we are free. We are free, church, you and me, we are free. No more slaves to sin. No more condemned. We are free. We might not feel like it, but the truth is we are free. Free from all condemnation. Free from all bombardments of the enemy. Yes, he'll still try to whisper lies. He'll still try to bring all these confusions in your head and in your life. But the truth is we are free. We are free. You know, and let's not take our life for granted. The fact that, you know, I'm able to wake up in the morning, breathe fresh air. You know, sometimes I complain about the heat. Sometimes I complain about the cold. But the fact that I wake up every morning fit and fine is a gift. It's a gift, amen. It is a gift. And you know, the biggest gift is I can go to bed, I can rest knowing that the Lord is with me. I can wake up in the morning knowing that the Lord is with me. Same way, each and every one of us. What a comfort. What a comfort. Amen. Yeah. Verse 7. And the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, the message we get from this verse is this. Be on your guard always. Be on your guard always. And do not choose a path of compromise. Be on your guard always. See, we have to learn to be content with what we have. We have to learn to be content. See, why does envy and all these things take place? Because we are not content with what we have. Why does all this jealousy and things take place? Because we are not content with what we have. Do you remember the parable of the talents? You know, there's a master and with three servants. And master, before he goes away on his business trip, he calls his three servants and he says, hey, I'm going to give you £10, he gives another man. Hey, I'm going to give you £20, and he gives another man £50. And you see, the master was generous in the sense of he understood his servants, so he understood their capacity. That's why he gave them what he gave them. See, so to the man he gave £10, what did he do? He buried it because he was scared of his master. The other man he gave £20, he did something with it, and he got a little bit of money back, so he made a bit of profit. And the man who he gave £50, he actually went out and he invested in different businesses and things like that, and he made more money. You see, and when the master comes back and he kind of like sees all his servants and all the progress they've made, he calls the one who actually buried him and he says to them, listen, you foolish man. See, that was for you. Why didn't you do anything with it? Why didn't you do anything with it? Because I believe in his head what he was thinking. Probably, this is just my own analogy. There's different forms of interpretation and different takes we can take on this. But one of the takes I'd like to present to you is this. He looked at his £10 and he looked at his other mates. One mate had 20, another mate had 50. And he's looking to himself, who does he think he is? Am I a fool? He's given me 10 and he's given him 20. He's given him 50. So what happened there was he was not content with what his master gave him. And because he was not content with what his master gave him, his focus went on to them. And his focus went and soon easily turned into bitterness. But had he understood why the master gave him what he gave him and worked with what he had in his hands, imagine the progress he would have made. Imagine going around to them guys and saying to them, hey, what are you going to do with them? Can you give me a little bit of advice? See, it's about learning from one another. It's about growing together. It's about actually saying, hey, we're one body. One body, and in one body, there is no competitiveness. This isn't about competition. This is about complementing one another and complementing each other's gifts that God has blessed us with. Amen. See, when we're doing worship, Andrew's playing guitar. What I'm doing is I'm complementing what he's playing. So he plays the rhythm. I'm adding a little bit of tune in the background. See, we're not competing against each other. Hey, no, we're not doing that. And with Steve, he's drumming. And we're not competing against each other saying, hey, who's the better? No, we're not doing that. We are all complementing each other. Hence, I'd like to say we're presenting a beautiful sound. I don't know if it's a beautiful sound to you, but we'd like to think we're presenting a beautiful sound. But that's exactly what this text is telling us here. Be on your guard always. Don't let them things creep in your heart. Church, keep your heart clean. We have to keep our hearts clean. See, let there be no disunity in the body. Let there be none of the things that is not of God in the body. Let's grow together. Let's continue to take this message. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Amen. Let's look at verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, see? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lowly, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. See, in other words, what he's saying is take every thought captive. Take every thought captive. See, Paul's in prison, but yet he did not let his physical limitations stop him from spreading the gospel. Even though he's in prison in chains, he's like, hey, bring that pen and paper. Write this down. Because he's in the business of spreading the gospel. He's in the business of doing God's work. Nothing was stopping him. No circumstances, no scheme of the devil was going to stop him. Amen. See, Andrew and Grace, they're going to Africa. And all these obstacles that's trying to stop them, no obstacles of the enemy is going to stop the message being preached in Africa. Amen? Amen? The Lord has given them the message, and we need to stand with them, church. Amen. We need to stand with them. We need to pray for them. See, prayer is so, so important. We need to pray for them, for God's protection, for God's covering, because this is, as much as this is a physical thing, most importantly, this is a spiritual thing. Amen. We need to understand that, and let's not neglect that. And as they go, we need to continue to carry them in our prayers. Continue to carry them in your prayers, in your personal prayers. Continue to pray for them over this course of next few days. Continue to pray for them. And whilst they're there, we'll continue to pray for them, because the burden is heavy. But the message they're taking with them is a liberating message. Amen. And it's going to break down all the barriers. It's going to bring liberation. Amen. And we need to believe that God will use them mightily whilst they're there. You know, and as I was preparing this, a question came. And this was a self-reflective thing. What if your problem is your solution? What if your problem is your solution? What if your struggle is a setup for God's provision and God's protection, God's intervention? What if your struggle is a setup for God's intervention? See, the reason we struggle, or the reason sometimes we go through crisis, I think it's an opportunity for us to grow, but at the same time, it's an opportunity where we can see God's mighty power in action. See, Lazarus' death, I think Andrew preached on this a few weeks ago. He was dead for 4 days. And I think David added another beautiful gem. You see, in that tradition, like, they believed that the spirits would be in body for how many days? 3 days. And the fact that Jesus went on the fourth day, all the traditions and all the belief system was all crushed. Lazarus is fully dead. Lazarus is fully dead. But when Jesus arrives there, and when Jesus says to Lazarus, Lazarus, come up. You see, what seemed like a crisis moment for Lazarus' family was actually an opportunity for God's intervention. And you see, the fact that we are going through a struggle, the fact that, you know, all this is happening, this is actually an opportunity for God's intervention. This is actually an opportunity for God's provision. This is actually an opportunity for God's mighty work to take place in action. And I love this in verse 9. It says, whatever you learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. God of peace will be with you. See, we have to let go of our ways, and we have to let God fill us with His ways. And that's God's intervention. See, God is working. God is moving. He's locked and loaded. He's ready. He's ready. You see, and we just have to kind of rest back and know that He is in control. But that resting back is so difficult. You know, it's easily said than done. And we say resting back, and I know I need to rest back, and you know you need to rest back, but that resting is difficult. But in that resting, we will see God moving powerfully. We will see God moving powerfully. And I believe now is the time, church, where you and me, we need to stand on our ground and understand that we are not the defeated ones. No, we are the victorious ones. Because we serve victorious, living Savior. Yes, we have scars. Yes, we have bruises. But there are marks that we've survived the battle. There are marks that we are not defeated, but we are still walking victoriously. Amen. You see, Paul was going through a crisis whilst he's writing to the church in Philippi. But his crisis actually created an opportunity for him to encourage the body of Christ in Philippi. The devil thought, oh, I've got Paul now. I've locked him up. He can't do anything. But whilst he was there, what that did was that actually increased the participation, but not only that, but increased the support system. You see, the churches were now beginning to think, hold on a second, Paul's there. And we need to do something about it. See, all of a sudden there was this great urgency in the churches. Like, Paul's there for a reason, and he says, I'm in chains, but I thank God I'm in chains because this is furthering the gospel. These are the words from Paul. I thank God I am in chains because this is furthering the gospel, because people are seeing that I'm in chains, and all of a sudden our people's faith are taking place in a radical, radical state. The faith level has lifted up because I'm in chains. See, Christ is in control. Christ is the Lord of all. Christ is in control. And let me finish with these words from Jesus. This is Steve's favorite verse, John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things. See, Jesus knows from the beginning to the end. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Okay, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Take them words today. And walk away knowing that He has overcome the world. Every crisis that you will face, or every crisis that you will go through, He will overcome it all. He's already overcome it all. He's given you the strength to overcome it all. It's a journey. And it's an exciting journey, church. It's an exciting journey. It's an exciting journey. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. When you're going through a struggle, the Lord is with me. Amen. Always know this, the Lord is near. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.